Peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, test time. Shouldn't be difficult for history buffs. Can you tell me what event took place June 28th, 1914? Yes. It was the assassination of Archduke Ferdinand in Sarajevo. I hope some of you are going, oh yeah, that's right. I really didn't know that. I just didn't want to speak out. For those of you who are going, who's Archduke Ferdinand? This was the one event that took place that really was given credit for moving everything in the world towards World War I and the beginning of the change, really, of the 20th century. World War I was really unique in terms of the things that took place within it, because not only was it the first war that really enveloped many different continents, it was also a war that brought in certain technology that never existed before. It was a war that used tanks and airplanes and poisonous gases. All those things had never been used on a regular basis in any war. It was also a war that developed psychological warfare, whispering campaigns. Back in that time, the United States was extremely reluctant to get involved. It was pretty much an isolationist country, and we didn't want to have anything to do with what was going on over there. That's their problem. Let them deal with it. And events happened that drew the country closer and closer. And for those who wanted to be able to be part of it in terms of defending France and Britain and the Allies, a campaign began. A whispering campaign. Where people began to speak about the atrocities that were taking place by the Germans and by the Serbians and the Austro-Hungarians. They weren't necessarily true, but it was enough to anger people, to motivate them to push the leaders of this country to say, okay, we're going to get involved with this war. That whole idea of a whispering campaign then really began to take hold in different ways. It became a corporate sort of thing. Different companies, department stores, for instance, would hire people to go into busy buildings and ride up and down the elevator with somebody else, having a conversation about the great dress they just got at Macy's and how it was on sale and a wonderful price. Or they'd hire actors to go on the subway to talk about the new tires they had just gotten for their car. There was, I think it was, I can't remember the name of the company now. It was a cigarette company, the big one. At any rate, yeah, Morris. They sent people out to go to different stores to buy cigarettes, and they'd be handed a pack of Chesterfield cigarettes, and they say, I don't want those. I understand there's some kind of disease that's going on within their factory. It got so bad that Chesterfield actually put a $25,000 reward out to be able to capture the people who were doing this. In Ohio, there was a steel factory strike. And so the corporation sent traveling salesmen to go to the different houses of the striking workers to be able to sell whatever it was, vacuum cleaners, I guess, I don't know, to the wives. And the wives would inevitably say, well, I can't afford to buy this. My husband's on strike. And then the factory, the traveling salesman then would give this tale about, well, you know, what's going on with that is the fact that the ones who are leading the strike are driving around in big cars and they're getting paid $25 a day still. And I used to work in a factory and I believed what they told me, and now look what I have to do. The strike was done in 3 days. And now with social media, those whispering campaigns still continue. Those of you who are fairly computer savvy at some point in time have run across the little scam thing that says Microsoft's going to pay you $1,000 to use a certain product. Nobody's sure exactly where it came from, but Microsoft was inundated with people demanding their money because they had bought this product. But it's just not corporations. We have interpersonal whispering campaigns all the time. Usually not good ones. Usually whispering campaigns aren't wrapped around the fact of, oh, did you see how pretty she is? Something more along the lines of, did you hear what she did? That's why when we were in kindergarten, we were told it's not polite to whisper. Because inevitably, we were talking about somebody else that we shouldn't have been talking about. In fact, the only appropriate place I can think of within our society where whispering is encouraged, or at least it used to be, is the library. But even if you go there now, it's a little noisy. We have a tendency in our minds to create boxes. We create boxes for all sorts of things. We create boxes where we put people in those boxes because we're determined they need to act and be a certain way. They're behavioral boxes. They're boxes about what their character might be of individuals. They're boxes that help define who an individual should be. And the worst box we've ever created is that box in which we have placed God. Because we have created a box for God. Each of us individually have a box where we understand what God is supposed to be, where we think that we have the understanding of the mind and the will of God, and so we have God in this little box. It's really, really probably the most silly concept Christians have ever come up with, because if you turn to the person next to you, even if you're married to that person, I can guarantee you that you have no idea what that person's thinking right now. Except for a couple of guys going, oh, yes, she knows. But we have this tendency to think that God needs to be acting and reacting in very specific ways. And that's just not the way it works. Cecil B. DeMille, I think, started that somewhat. You want God to talk to you? Then you need to have something like, I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods before me. And so Elijah's in a cave. He's hiding. He's hiding because he fears for his life. He's hiding because Ahab and his wife Jezebel are hunting him down. Jezebel's always an interesting biblical character because we've portrayed her in such a way that you notice that you don't run into very many Jezebels anymore, do you? Jezebel promoted an ancient religion in which Elijah pretty much destroyed. And so she was holding him responsible. And he's hiding. And so God comes to him, not with a great booming voice, not with flame, not with wind, not with an earthquake, but a whisper. And it is in the whisper that Elijah heard and understood the voice of God. Now, I don't think any of us have had a Cecil B. DeMille God moment. Anybody raising your hand? haven't had a moment we're sitting in the car and suddenly there's a booming voice that is, I am the Lord your God, this is what you're going to do right now. Because God speaks to us, I think more often in those whispers, in the whispers of our soul, in the tiny voice of our conscience, telling us what it is that we might be doing, telling us what it is we might better be doing, telling us what it is that we better not be doing. Whispering to us in terms of helping us understand exactly where it is and what it is that God has in mind for our lives. Whispering to us within our hearts to be able to lead us and guide us, to take us to those places that God intends us to go. Whispering to us to be able to lead us to be the people that God intends us to be. Elijah heard in that whisper from God what the fulfillment of his calling was to be and what his next steps were. It's important for us to listen to that whisper, to take the time to be able to discern the voice of God within our lives so we might understand a little bit better what it is that God has in mind for us. So we might better see where it is that God would have us go. And understanding exactly what it is that God would have us do. Found in that still voice that calls us to go and do. So we all need to open our hearts and our minds to that quiet voice of God, which leads us and guides us every day of our lives, helping us to know exactly what it is that God has in mind for us as we continue to serve Him here in this place, opening His kingdom to the world around us.